Masquerade. And this has been one of my favorite sermon series. I know I say that about all. They're all my favorite, but this one has really been something amazing. So recently at school, we did a workshop on personalities. And part of the workshop was called Poker Face. So what we had to do was answer a bunch of questions to find out what our poker face was. And what I found out in that workshop is that they had a name for it, and I can't remember what the name was, but my poker face is, I can be mad at you, and you're not going to know that I'm mad at you. Unless you're my husband, because then he's going to know when I'm mad at him. So when you look around, and you look at the person down your row, and the person next to you, what do you see? You see a whole lot of people that have been trained to put on this poker face. We put on smiles, and we put on nice clothes, and we put on perfume, but inside, we may be crying. Inside, we may be hurting. Inside, we may be mad at you and you don't even know it. And the thing is, we've all been trained to put on this mask and hide. So today we're looking at hiding your hurt. We're looking at wounded people. And when I asked Pastor Juran, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of a wounded person? He said, he pictures the soldier coming out of the flames with smoke and dragging somebody with him and blood everywhere and scars and wounds. So I know most of you guys picture that. Me, on the other hand, when I picture wounds, I picture a plaster, a band-aid. So I think when you become a parent, you have your fair share of knowledge when it comes to plasters. So they come in sizes, as you can see, extra small, small, medium, and large. So to cover up wounds. Then you have these ones, which are really handy if you have kids. And the moms out there, anybody who had an op, Caesar, C-section, you all know about this band-aid. And then you get some wounds that are so intense that they need stitches and a cast. Some of us are so wounded that we end up looking like this. The thing is, we've all been through pain, we've all been hurt, we've all had pain physically. But with a little TLC, proper treatment and time, those wounds are healed and well forgotten. But an untreated wound, anybody had to deal with an untreated wound? An untreated wound can lead to so much more than just an ugly scar. And I googled this so that it's 100% correct. An untreated wound, a wound that has not been treated, can well lead to an ugly scar. It can become chronically infected, which doesn't get better and can lead to the bone where there's pus and it oozes out and it's just really terrible. An untreated wound can lead to septicemia, which your body goes into shock, which leads to multiple organ failure and you can die, just from an untreated wound. An untreated wound can develop gangrene, which is a tissue death and can lead to the loss of that limb. So wouldn't you agree that an untreated wound can be really dangerous? And sometimes, and most of the time, it actually means ripping out that band-aid, dealing with that wound to get proper healing. And so many of us are walking around, we're like the walking wounded. We're walking around and our hearts and our minds are looking like this. We've got band-aid upon band-aid and we've got plasters and things, covering up our hearts, not dealing with the deep-rooted hurts and wounds that we are facing. And what I want to do today is I want to answer three questions that we've all asked about our wounds and our healing. And the first question is, why do we go through pain? Well, we go through pain because we live in a broken world. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus doesn't promise us that we will have a life of rainbows and cupcakes. It would be nice, but that's not the world we live in. And the second reason is why we go through pain is because we haven't been healed from our past hurt. We're walking around with band-aids and masks covering up deep-rooted heals, wounds. And I believe that this masquerade, the masquerade of covering up your wounds, covering up your hurts, is the most spiritual, paralyzing masquerade that you can ever live. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I'm ripping off that band-aid. I had to borrow that from Pastor Juran. He does that every week and it works, right? So what I want to do today is I want to look at a Bible story found in John 5. And you can follow along with this on the screen with me. It says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. So basically in Bethesda, there's this pool, and around this pool there's five colonnades, and the colonnades are like five porches with their cover. And there were a multitude of people, many people that would lie there, but these people were sick people. They were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed. So here we are in the story. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. So here they are, five porches of sick people, of lame people, of blind people, waiting, wishing, hoping that they could get into this pool. And what happened was that this pool had an underwater spring. So it would bubble every once a year, well, maybe not once a year, but every now and then, and an angel of the Lord would come and stir in this pool. And whoever got in first would be healed. And the second reason that I want to, the second question is, why are we not healed? And it's not because we don't have a magic pool. The first reason why we're not healed is because we view the world from our pain. So, here we are, multitudes of people sitting there, lying on their mat. Can you imagine that this one guy, the guy had been lying here for 38 years, looking at a future that he can't reach, looking at a healing that he can't touch. I mean, what was his perspective on life lying here on his back? I wonder if his parents would bring him when he was first born, and maybe they would then drop him off, you know, and think, is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the day? And he was just lying there on his back. And some of us, metaphorically speaking, we come to church, but this is where we are. We're on our back. We come to church and we think, I wish I could be the ones that the sermon would apply to. I wish I could be the ones that could be healed. But Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, and 4 decades later, I'm still here and I'm lying on my back and nothing's changed. And nothing's changed because all I can see, the world that I can see, is from my mat. It's from my pain, because my life is centered around my wound. My life is centered around my pain. My decisions is made from my mat. I see through my pain. How many of us are lying there? And the second reason is because we're surrounded by the wrong people. And so there were a multitude of people that would gather around the infirmity. Because have you ever noticed that misery loves company? So you're not just going to sit there on your own. You tend to attract people that are just like you. You know, all the negative people, they just find each other. It's like a magnet, and then they're going to sit together. All the gossipers, they just find each other, and they're going to sit together in that section. And all the bakers, all the traditionalists, all the conservatives, all the people that have things in common, they just find each other and they sit together because people like to congregate around the issue. And so you can get on social media and you can find 25 new friends around your issue. All you have to do is put a hashtag in front of it, and suddenly you got 25 new friends that are going to find you in your issue. Whether it's misery, whether it's rejection, whether it's hurt, whether it's offense, or whether it's joy, whether it's around a sporting game, whether it's around something good, people love to congregate around the issue. And so if you've got something to complain about, you're going to find 25 other people that are going to sit with you in your colonnade and complain with you about it. And so for 38 years, this guy had been lying there on his mat. I mean, surely he made some friends. Surely he bonded with somebody. He wasn't there alone. And I mean, not one of his friends could put him in that pool. Not one of his friends could take him. I mean, 38 years lying there. No one to put him in. Where were his parents? Were they not sitting there with him to put him into this pool? Where were his friends? And if you have people in your life that don't provide any support, that don't provide any prayer, that don't provide any solution, and all they do is sit and listen to your complaint, then they're just sitting with you in your colonnade. They're just sitting with you in your porch. And the third reason is because your pain defines your identity. And eventually, you talked about your issue so much that you don't even know who you are anymore. You don't even know who you are anymore because all you know is your issue. And I know there's no one here that has any issues. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about our 8:30 service. Oh, wait. We don't have an 8:30 service. Not yet. And I know a lot of us think, no, we don't have any issues. We don't have any issues because everyone around us is the same. And he's hurt and I'm hurt and everybody is around us is the same. So I don't have any issues. But if I were to ask your spouse, if I were to ask your friend, if I were to ask your neighbor or the person sitting next to you, you can look straight ahead right now. Or if I were to ask your kid, I can guarantee you that they're going to name one or two issues. You know, I heard people say, hey, don't mention that around her. You know, she's going to explode. Don't mention that around him. He's got an issue with that. Some of us choose to sit on a different side of church because we don't want to bump into the person we're having an issue with on the other side. Not in this church. We are good people here, not in this church. And so eventually, you don't have an identity because your identity is in your issue. It's in your wound. It's in what they did to you. It's in what they said to you. It's on where you come from. It's about your socioeconomic background. It's all about the issue. The Bible is full of people that we don't know their names, but we know the issue. Because most people with the issue would prefer to be comforted in their misery rather than changed, prefer to be accepted rather than changed, prefer to be affirmed rather than changed. And you see it. You see that people get their identity from the issue. It's just the way I am. It is what it is. Accept me or don't. And the Bible, we have in Luke 8, the lady with the issue of blood. We don't know her name, but we know her issue. The Samaritan woman in John 4, we don't know her name, but we know her issue with five husbands. The woman caught in the act of adultery in John 8, we don't know her name, but we know her issue. The man born blind, the leper, we don't know their names. The invalid man that we read about, we don't know his name, but we know his issue. I wonder if you've become so defined by your issue that you no longer remember who you are, that you no longer remember that you're a mom, that you no longer remember that you're a dad, that you no longer remember that you're a wife, that you're a husband, that you're a child, that you no longer remember that you're a son and a daughter of the King of Kings, that you no longer remember who you are because all you know is your issue. Yeah. And what I love about Sinai is that this year now, Vision Sunday, Pastor put together 10 areas of our lives that we are going to build into, because we're going to find out who we are in Christ. We're going to get our identity back, and that is who we are. We're going to find out who we are. If you've lost your identity, if you've forgotten who you are, if all you know is your issue, where you come from, then this year, make it your challenge to find out who you are. And the third question we ask is, how does God heal us? God gives you the opportunity to be healed. So Jesus comes up to this guy and he says, do you want to be healed? Now notice, Jesus didn't go. He didn't go to the guy. He didn't go to him and say, oh, you poor little thing, you poor little guy, and I know that it's been so hard and you've been lying here, and I'm just gonna lie here with you. I know that you've been so oppressed, but I'm gonna lie here with you, and we're gonna go on Facebook and we're gonna start a hashtag and we're gonna tell everybody how bad it is to be lying by the pool. I just affirm you. I just hear you. I'm just going to lie here with you. That's not what Jesus did. In fact, Jesus would have been kicked out of every pastoral care team. In fact, he would have been fired from the church, because Jesus comes up to the guy and he says, hey, bro, that's the South African version. Hey, bro, do you want to be healed? I mean, can you imagine the newspapers? Jesus comes up to the affirmed man of Bethesda and says, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? I mean, of course the man wants to be made healed. He's been lying there for 38 years. Jesus Christ has zero compassion. I mean, that church has no compassion. No compassion. But compassion, sympathy, and pity doesn't get you off your mat. It keeps you on your mat. It keeps you there. And so Jesus tells him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be made whole? And there's always an opportunity. The opportunities are always given to you. It's whether you want it. Because I think a lot of people would rather lie on that mat than be healed. And Jesus is saying, here's the opportunity. Do you want to be healed? But you have to accept the responsibility that comes with your healing. And God gives you the responsibility for your healing. Because you see, it's a lot easier for the man to just lie on that mat and remain a victim for the rest of his life, because then you want people to feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
But there's a responsibility that comes with being healed, and you have to want it. You have to take it. You have to accept the responsibility. It's your job. No one else can do it for you. No one else can take that place. You have to rip the bandage off. Jesus can offer. He can ask you. He can even meet you there, and he can walk you through it. But it's whether you want it. And you know, some of us have been lying on that mat for years, lying on the mat of anger, of bitterness, of shame, of guilt, of offense. And you know, everyone will understand, because that's what society does. No wonder you are the way you are, because I mean, look what happened to you. No wonder you're angry. No wonder you're so bitter, because look what happened to you. And you know what? There's a reason for it. There's a justifiable reason for it. And you know what? We're just going to keep you on that mat. But Jesus is saying, I don't want to keep you on that mat. I don't want you to stay on that mat, because I know what happened to you. But if you know what I did for you on Calvary is greater than what happened to you. So if you want to be made well, you can pick up your mat and walk. And we're currently living in a world that is affirming our victimhood, that's saying, oh, just stay on that mat. You poor little thing. It's not your fault. It's the system's fault. It's everybody else's fault. And Jesus is saying, we live in a broken and a fallen world, but I have overcome the world. So if you want to be made well, I can make you well. Now imagine if the man didn't get off the mat. He would have spent the next 38 years on that mat. you would have probably died there. And God gives you the ability to embrace the pain of recovery. So Jesus was saying, do you want to? Because there's a cost with your healing. I read a story about a lady who had a ski accident. And so during the ski accident, she broke her knee, fractured her knee, and everything happened to her knee. So she had to go for an operation. And during this operation, they did something that's called a hamstring graft. So after the operation, the doctor comes to her and he says, well, you have a choice here. Because this kind of injury that you have occurred, or this injury that has happened to you, if you were a professional athlete, you will never play professional sport again. But you can recover from the surgery, because technically your right knee is actually stronger than your left knee because of the hamstring graft. But here's the deal. Most people who had this kind of injury never recover. Not because they can't, but because they won't. Because you see, the pain of recovery is far greater than the pain of the injury. Because the injury took 1 second to happen. But the recovery is going to take several months for you to come back. Now, you can come back completely or partially. You can come back quickly or slowly. It's entirely up to you. Because the degree to which you are willing to embrace the pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover. The degree to which you are willing to embrace that pain of recovery is the degree to which you will recover. It's painful, to be honest. It's painful to let go of that anger. It's painful to forgive. It's painful to let go of things. It's hard to complete those challenges. Week after week, Pastor gives us a challenge. It's hard. It's hard to wake up on a Sunday morning. It's hard to complete the growth plan. But the choice is yours. The pain of recovery. And the thing I found with a whole lot of people is that they would prefer to stay on that mat. Not because Jesus won't set us free. It's because we are not willing to embrace that pain of recovery. And if we are willing to embrace the pain of recovery, we will see a life beyond our past. I mean, church, nothing is going to change your past. The blood of Jesus does not give you amnesia. Nothing is going to change your past. Yes, you have been hurt. Yes, bad things have happened. But you have the choice to say whether I'm going to spend the next 38 years living on that mat or walking in the freedom and liberation that God has for me. And God heals through His presence. But you have to decide, do I want to be a victim or do I want to be a victor? And we have this victim mentality rampant in this world right now. So when Jesus comes up to this man and he says, do you want to be healed? Notice that the man doesn't say yes. I mean, what planet are you living on? You've been lying there for 38 years, and when someone comes to you and asks you, do you want to be healed? He answers with two answers. The first thing he says is, well, it's not my fault. The second thing he says is, I've got no one to put me in the pool. There's that blame victim mentality. Instead of saying yes to Jesus, he's saying, I've got no one to put me in the pool. And Jesus is the one that is standing before him who can give him healing. And instead of saying yes to Jesus, he's saying, I've got no one to put me in the pool. Some of us are not saying yes to Jesus because we're blaming our father who walked out of us, our mother who died. You're blaming an ex-lover or ex-friend or a teacher who said you're dumb or you're stupid, something that happened. And Jesus is saying to you, do you want to be made well? And you are like, but they didn't do it for me. And my mom walked out and my dad walked out and they didn't do it for me. And it's not my fault. And Jesus is like, but I'm standing here. I'm standing here. I know that they're not here, but I'm standing here. Some of us are still blaming the ex-husband who walked out on you 38 years. He's been married twice, got 16 great-grandchildren. Oh, honey, he's not thinking about you. No hurt is worth 38 years of your life. No hurt. I've got no one to put me in the pool. Somebody didn't send me the check. Somebody didn't give me the break. Everyone else gets in first. No one cuts me any slack. I mean, the guy comes up with excuses rather than a yes. Rather than saying yes to Jesus, we give him a list of everything that hasn't happened, a list of everybody who hurt us, a list of everybody who offended us. I'm not minimizing the pain of that. I preface that by saying the pain of recovery is very real. But it's not impossible. You have to be willing to walk through it, because on the other side of your healing is fruitfulness. Because the enemy wants to keep you on that mat, because he wants to hold you back from everything that Jesus has for you. He wants to hold you back from being a fruitful person, a fruitful mom, a fruitful dad, a fruitful husband, a fruitful wife. He wants to hold you back. It's not an issue of your salvation. You can stay on that mat and be miserable for the rest of your life, but it's an issue of your fruitfulness. And we find hope, and we find healing, and we find comfort in God, because God will never waste a pain. And Jesus said to the man, take up your bed and walk. And here's the other thing that Jesus did that wasn't very compassionate. He told the man to do something that he couldn't do. He was an invalid. And he said to him, okay, so I'm going to put the stretch on you. The thing that has been carrying you, the thing that you have been lying on for 38 years, I want you to pick it up and carry it. The thing that you have been using as an excuse, the thing that you have been using as your victimhood, I want you to pick it up and carry it, so that you can see that you are that it is no longer carrying you, that Jesus is carrying you. I want you to take back your life. I want you to take ownership of your healing. All the opportunities are given to you. I have provided each opportunity that you need to take up your bed and walk. And the pain that you went through, and the hurt that you went through, God is saying, you can pick up that bed. You can walk. And sometimes I think that we prefer to applaud other people for picking up their bed and walking than taking up my own mat, taking up my own bed. We like to look at them and say, wow, how did you do that? Wow, how did you overcome that? And it's not the person. It's a Jesus issue. It's Jesus who gives you the ability to take up your mat and walk. It's Jesus who gives you. And I got to thinking, why would Jesus tell him, pick up your bed and walk? Why not leave it there? Because his bed had become his identity. Everybody knew him, the man on the mat, the man on the bed, the paralyzed man, because he had been there for 38 years. So now when people saw him walking with his bed, they would say, there's the man that Jesus healed. There's the man that's walking with it. I want what you have. And your pain can become your testimony. Your pain can become something that God can use to help others, to help you. The enemy doesn't want you to get up off that mat, because I can control you when you're on that mat. I can control what you do. And God is saying, in fact, you don't need to believe God for anything to lie on that mat. All you need is an opinion and to complain, and in the 21st century, you need a Facebook account. And you can lie on that mat and believe that you are doing something great. The choice is yours. And so Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? Because you can pick up your bed and you can walk. It's all you. Choice is there. And true healing comes in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Because Jesus is the one that connects us to God. It's Jesus is the one who connects us to the grace and the mercy of God. And it is Jesus that gives us the strength to take up our bed and walk. But it's whether we are willing to take up that responsibility. Whether we are willing to grab the opportunities given. And so Jesus is asking you today, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be healed? And our challenge for this week, the letter challenge. Now, a letter challenge, I don't know if any of you have ever done this before, but what is your mat? What is the thing that is holding you back? What is the person that has hurt you, that you have hold. It could be your mom, it could be your dad, it could be your ex-husband, it could be your friend, it could be whoever it is, whatever it was. Today, take your mat, take your bed, and write your letter to that person, to that thing, of how they hurt you. It is not a list that we are making to Jesus, telling him about everything that has happened. It's us putting perspective into place to saying, I've been hurt. Yes, you hurt me. You've done X, Y, and Z, but today I forgive you. Today I'm taking up my bed. I'm going to tear up that letter. I'm not going to post it to you. I'm not going to write it to you, but I'm writing it so that I can see I'm letting go of it. Today, I'm writing it to see that it is no longer in me. Today, I'm writing it because it is my bed and I'm picking it up and I'm walking. So whoever hurt you, whatever your hurt was, whatever your mat was, whatever has been holding you back from what God has done for you, whatever your past was, write it down today. Tear it up, throw it in the bin, burn it, pray for it, do whatever you need to do. But today, let it be your day where you let go of it. Where it's gone and forgotten, and God is washing away our sins as far as the east is from the west, our past as far as the east is from the west, and you can walk today in a new life, in a new freedom. You can rip out that bandage, you can take off that mask, because you are no longer going to be identified by your pain, by your mat, by your wound. You are going to walk in the freedom that God has for you. So we're going to stand this morning and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, my God, that you are a God that loves us, and you are a God that gives us opportunities each day to be better, to be healed, to be the best version of ourselves. And Father, today as we take up this challenge of picking up our mat and walking, Father, today I pray that you will give us the ability and the strength to embrace the pain of recovery that comes with picking up our mat and walking. Father, today as we take that step to say, I will no longer be lying on my sick bed. I will no longer be lying on my mat of offense, of blame, of anger, of bitterness and hurt, but today I will be a new person. And as we take up this challenge, give us the ability, Lord. Give us the strength. Give us the grace. Give us your power, my Jesus. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.